Hey guys, welcome back to Mother, Daughter, and God.
That was a quick start.
And we're here to talk about vacations.
Yeah, we're going to talk about vacations because I need one.
Apparently she needs one from me.
From everybody.
I think I need to go on a vacation with her.
Yeah. But I am leaving tomorrow on a work trip, so that's like a little mini vacation. Because anytime I can be in a hotel room and perhaps get some room service.
This lady's going to Florida for work. Next week, I'm going on a trip for work. I'm going to Houston, Texas. The difference.
You can still have a hotel room with room service. That constitutes a vacation to me.
That's pathetic. Anywho.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about vacations. I mean, if you don't know me and my background, I've had a pretty long career in the vacation kind of travel industry. Started, you know, with American, and we traveled quite a bit. First married, and then worked at AA Vacations. So that was, you know, like your all-inclusive vacation package. And now I've had about 10 years in the cruise industry. So Avery has been, I would say, fortunate enough to grow up in us traveling and going and doing. And I thought, you know, we could talk about vacations, about pros and cons of all the various forms of traveling on a vacation.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's fair. And any, like, little secrets that you have learned from your jobs traveling and our favorite places and all that.
I think the first thing I would say that I was surprised about when I went back into the travel industry, well, not back in, back to like cruises, when I started working with cruises specifically, it's crazy. Like 90% of our business comes from travel agents. And I didn't even think travel agents were a thing anymore because we had cut commissions when I worked on the airline side. And I was like, there's not a travel agent in the world anymore. And actually there are many, many travel agents out there. And my job today now is to educate and train and enhance the relationships with the travel agents. So, you know, I think that's kind of funny that I had no idea they were out there, you know, 10 years ago. So my first tip would be, I think that it is smart to use a travel agent when you're booking your travel. A lot of people won't do that. They think they have to pay for that service, but most likely your travel agent's not going to charge you. And if they do, it's a minimum fee, like very nominal for just because here's what happens. A lot of times they do a lot of homework for you and then they give it to you and you're like, oh, thanks for all the information. You run off and do it on your own. And that's crummy. So they kind of have to safeguard and protect themselves, which I totally think is fair. But they get the commissions from like the cruise companies, the hotels, the shoreside excursions. They get a kickback commission from them. So really you're not paying usually a travel agent for their services. And then they have a wealth of knowledge. So for sure, I think when you cruise, they can get you really great deals because a lot of times they're in a larger consortium. They'll take out group rate discounts kind of space, and they can get a cheaper rate for you than you can on your own, even if you go through somebody like an Expedia or Priceline or somebody like that. And on that note, I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, like what happens is that, say, a hotel has all these, anybody, let's just say hotels, have all of these beds, right, that they need to sell. And so they know that they can probably sell 20-25% at like a very high-end rate. They can sell so many for top dollar because of corporate rate. But then they also know that they're going to always have like so much that they can't sell. And so they've done the math. They've done the stats on it. They have all the smart people figuring out the revenue management numbers. And then they'll offload, say, 20 or 30% out to brokers. And so that's kind of where your Pricelines, Expedia, you know, places like that are getting it and they're reselling it then to you, to the public, and they're making a little bit of a margin on those. I don't know if people really understand that.
I'm learning a lot right now.
Yeah, so
I didn't know that travel agents were like still a thing either because the other day, well, I kind of did, but I said something about a joke, like, I should become a travel agent, you know, to my friend Jane, and she was like, isn't that like a dying career?
And it's actually not. There's a huge surge of people going because we had a lot of people that did it for years and years and years retire over the pandemic because obviously there was no traveling and they just decided like, okay, I'm kind of done. Then we had this massive influx of travel. Everybody's just wanting to travel now and we have more demand than we even have ships. We don't have enough, you know, everything is just crazy demand for travel. And travel agents are growing leaps and bounds. And so there's a lot of people your age, and, you know, all the way up any age, but we're seeing a huge influx of travel agents coming into the industry and learning the business. And it's a great career because you can go travel and then write off all your travel because you're doing education and, you know, exploring and
Maybe I shouldn't do that.
Which I kind of talked to Maggie about that. I was like, you love to travel. Like, that could be a great viable career for people. So honestly, if you do want to do that, you could just go. I see it all the time. Like, LinkedIn has always like travel consultants, travel entry positions that companies are out there. They'll train you. They'll probably give you a little base salary. And then usually it's commission. And you just build a clientele and then you're making money. And there's, it's definitely a living. You can definitely make a living that way. But that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about travel. So I would say then, you know, kind of going from what we talked about with Priceline and Expedia or all those kind of places, you can book your own travel, obviously, and you can find some good deals out there. But that's kind of if you want to do like your own trip. Like, I'm going to buy my airline. I'm going to stay at this hotel. I want to go go check out XYZ destination. So, like, if we're going to go to Galveston for the weekend here in Texas and you just want to book a hotel and you're going to go hang out, that's an easy way to do it. But if you're going to go to St. Thomas in the Caribbean, right, then you have to decide, do you want a hotel or do you want all-inclusive? So, Avery, I've talked enough. Tell us, what do you think about all-inclusive resorts versus just, like, hotel only, and what do you like?
I think that this depends on the family, because we learned going to Costa Rica, we did like a condo, and we had a rental car and we literally just did something different every single day. And I think that was my favorite trip that we've ever done because you get to see so much. Now, if you're at an all-inclusive resort, you get like unlimited drinks and food and you're just like basically laying out by the pool all day, every day. And you can leave the resort, but most people don't. And I think, like, I'm fine with that because all I want to do is get sun. But, like, Jack was not here for that growing up. He was like, this is right. So boring. Like, that's why he liked cruises, because they have, like, basketball courts. And he, like, made friends and all whatnot. There's just a lot to do. I think Costa Rica he enjoyed a lot more because we did, like, our own thing. And we, like, went ziplining and we did this, that, you know, we just did a lot. And you're kind of limited, I think, if you're at an all-inclusive resort. I think that it might be cheaper, but I don't know. I didn't book Costa Rica or anything, so I don't know what the prices is. But, like, in my mind, if I'm booking something, I'm like, oh, let's go look at, like, cheap Caribbean, or let's go look at all-inclusives, yeah. Because it just seems like the easiest thing as someone who, like, is just starting to look into travel because someone was my travel advisor growing up. So, yeah.
Yeah, even when we did all-inclusives, you know, we tried to get off the property, though, and, like, go do other activities and, you know, mix it up a little bit. I could do a whole podcast on just all-inclusive and destinations and where to go and, you know, which places are probably safe to go and do things and where I probably wouldn't. You know, it's hard to say just kind of off. I'm not going to, like, bash any specific islands or anything, but I pretty much have been to almost every Caribbean island and almost every Mexico destination you can go to for travel. And I'm still one, even though people are fearful about Mexico, like, I'm still one to still go to an all-inclusive there, but still go and venture into town and go shopping and do things. And you know, I just don't live in a fear anyway. But I think you have to be cautious. You have to watch what you're doing always and watch your surroundings. And, you know, I wouldn't probably go out at night too long after it's dark. And we love to stay at a resort in Playa del Carmen, and it's literally like you walk out the front of the hotel, you cross the street, and then you're on what they call Fifth Avenue. And so that's a lot of fun because that little Fifth Avenue strip is kind of like old Europe feel, with the cobblestone streets and pretty trees and things like that. And you can drink, you know, hit a bar on the corner and have restaurants, and there's bands, and it's a lot of fun. But I don't think I would be staying out until like 2 a.m. I think it's like, okay, we had dinner, it's been nice, let's get back to our room, or back to the resort by like 9:30, 10. You know, you have to be smart. You gotta be smart anywhere in the world, nowadays, but in Mexico, I think it's just pay attention. So that's what I'd say about that. And then we did have a great trip in Costa Rica. I think that the lovely thing about Costa Rica is that it's so diverse. So, like, we went and saw, mm-hmm. like, 7 different beaches, and they were all different. Some had shells. Some was, like, black beach. Some were regular mm-hmm. beach. Some
had pigs.
Some had pigs. So we saw, like, a lot of diversity. And the waves where we were staying.
That was the best part.
Crazy big. We probably should not have been out there.
Were incredible. Little kids like me like to boogie board. Best thing ever. We didn't have boogie boards, though. We were just body surfing.
I don't even remember.
But it was so fun, man.
We had fun. I think we did get boards. And then, you know, the howler monkeys are popular there. And that was a lot of fun to see all of that. And we opened up our windows to that patio, if you remember. And there was, like, all those, like, animals right there outside mm-hmm. of our
We had a condo. Cat that would visit us because we gave it milk one day. And so it kept coming back.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And Costa Rica is very diverse. So, you know, you have the rainforest and then it's just all the regions around are so different. So you kind of have to do your homework on what you want to see. We always kind of stay in Guanacaste, which is up in the northwest area of that.
The zip lining was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I remember from this trip, this is so random, but the dang chicken from the grocery store. Was unreal.
Our whole family still talks about how delicious the chicken was. Because they probably killed it in somebody's backyard like the night before. But it was really, really
good. And they like had it like pre-seasoned. And she literally just cooked it in a pan at our little condo. And there were no leftovers. Like, I wanted to go back for seconds. Me, little Avery, never had seconds. Such good chicken. I was like, I want more. Like, well, it's gone.
We'll have to go back to the store.
It was so good.
So we need to repeat that trip to go to Costa Rica. I mean, literally, the kids have been to a million places. Well, I would say really, a lot of places traveling.
That was the number one.
They all three will say their favorite was Costa Rica. Okay, cruises. Since we've been talking about cruises, I have some very definite opinions about cruising.
Works for a cruise line still.
I do work for a cruise line still. I think cruises are great because you unpack once and you can see a bunch of different places. With the ease of just that continuity of just you've got your room and you can always go back to it. I think it's great because you can see a bunch of destinations easily. What I don't care for it, especially in the Caribbean, and this if you never have cruised, let's just pretend like your second day, you've landed in St. Martin. And you get off the ship, you've had breakfast on the ship, you get off around 8:30, 9 o'clock, you go exploring, you finally shopped a little bit, you might have had lunch somewhere, you find a little beach, you get settled, you start having a cocktail, you're having a good time. You got to be kind of like done by 3 because you got to get back on the ship usually by 4 and they're going to be out of there. Or sometimes you have to
don't drink too much
by 4 and they're, you know, like, no, they're usually always leaving by 4:30, 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So it's a bummer to me to go to the Caribbean islands because once you get kind of settled and having fun, you have to leave. And that's like, ugh. But if you've never done the Caribbean, it's a great way to go see all these different islands really fast. And then you can be like, you know what? I fell in love with St. John, or I really fell in love with St. Lucia. And so then you can be like, I'm going to go back and do a land trip there and spend maybe 4 or 5 or a week, you know, four or five days or a week. And you can kind of test which islands, because you will get a sense of what kind of island you love. And, you know, what I love will be different than what you love and then what somebody else loves. Like, I love Tortola, but there's really nothing to do there. Some people will be really bored there. So I think that that's a great thing to do with cruising to the Caribbean, is just test it out and see what all the options are. And then you can plan trips. On the other side of it, if you go to Europe, I think it's great to do Europe that way because you're not hauling a suitcase all over, you know, the cities and the trains and the cobblestones, and it's painful. You just get off, you go explore, you do a whole day. It's usually a really long day and you're exhausted and you're ready to come back. And instead of having like the stress of just kind of like, we have to go here to this museum, or we got to get our tickets and we got to do this and where are we? And you're looking at a map and, you know, it's just a stressful day all day long. Then, if you were staying on land, thinking like, okay, now, where's our hotel, and what are we going to have for dinner, and what are we, you don't have to think about that. You're back on the ship, you know, by 5 o'clock, and you're like, what a great day it was. I'm exhausted. Let's just go get a cocktail, go to our room, lay down for an hour, get ready for dinner.
And then at dinner, you can have like
delicious dinner.
3 lobster tails because you're not paying for it. I mean, you're paying for it, but you're not like sitting in a restaurant paying for each lobster tail you eat. Like,
you have a waiter that knows your name already. They know what kind of cocktail you want, what kind of wine you want.
That sounds great.
You know, you have that decompression at night, which is just relaxing, and then you gear up for the next port that you're going to, and it's another long, hard day in Europe. And you do want to do all the things. You're there, right? You want to see all the stuff.
Sometimes, doesn't it, the ships stay at the port overnight, so you have like 2 days sometimes at the same port. So it's not like you're rushed. You know, you still have time to see everything.
Some cruise lines.
I've never been to Europe, so I'm really just speaking through her, but.
Yeah, some cruise lines, you know, if they will stay overnight, and that's what they're known for, is they'll say, like, we are a smaller ship, you know, and we'll stay in the port overnight and give you that extra time. One of the best cruises Charles and I took, and it's his favorite cruise, is we went to Bermuda. And so we left out and went to Boston, and then out of New Jersey, Boston. That was a great date.
I thought y'all weren't going to come back. Didn't y'all go through, like, the Bermuda Triangle?
You were worried. Then we went over to Bermuda, and it stayed 3 nights at Bermuda. So it was like just our hotel, which again was nice. You got up in a day, you went all over the island, did whatever section you wanted to do, come back. Again, could eat dinner that way, relax, go out the next day, spend the day. You could stay out all night if you really wanted to because the ship's not going to go anywhere. So you had 3 full days, and that was really nice and relaxing. I think we would do that again because now that Dad's gotten back into golf, I think he would enjoy going in golf, you know, in Bermuda. And then we came back over to Maine, Bar Harbor, Maine, and then we came back to New Jersey. And that was just a really, really good trip and good destinations, and that was a lot of fun. But I highly recommend, again, doing Europe for all the reasons I said, but then also because I realized when I went to Italy, like, oh my gosh, Italy is so huge. Now I realize, like, okay, if I go back and do the land, you're not going to do all of Italy. You're going to either do Tuscany or you're going to do, like, the Amalfi Coast. Like, you're going to have to break it up and have to do, like, sections at a time and tackle it that way. And, you know, so I think cruising just kind of gives you a taste of, like, what is out there? What do you see? What do you like? And then you can always go back and do land if you want to do a longer trip, but in our country. But if you just want to hit, like, we're going in May, we're going to do Portugal, like 3 stops in Portugal, Tangier, Morocco, and then we're going to hit like 4 places in Spain. We're going to end up in Barcelona for like 9 nights. And so it's probably 7 ports, 9 nights. It's a great trip because we're going to see a lot of, you know, different places in a very short amount of time. And I don't
she's
have
not
to,
taking me.
And I don't have to do anything. I have to unload my bags one time and then I'm taken care of by the staff, which is fantastic. So I do love cruising.
I just love cruising because of the food. Like, I'm just such a foodie and I can't get over it. Like I said, like the lobster tails. Yeah, escargot. Like, who wants to eat that normally on a cruise? Sign me up.
And then you're like, I love that. And they're like, well, I'll bring you another.
Yeah.
But I don't like, need another.
And they're like, what do you like for dessert? And like, well, you can have both. Why not get both? It's like, twist my arm. Like,
the first time we took a cruise with the kids, Jack was pretty little. And he's like, oh, I don't know what I want. I kind of want this. But this sounds good. And I'm like, get them both. And he's like, what? I'm like, you can have as much as you want.
And then we were ordering like doubles the rest of the trip.
And he just like, what? And then at the end of the cruise, you're like, what was your favorite part of the trip? He's like, the bread.
Yeah. He said, the bread. They kept bringing out the bread.
He's such the bread guy. So to those of you who may say, like, well, I tried cruising and I hated it. This is kind of one of my biggest pet peeves about people saying this to me because I would then rebuttal, well, where did you take the cruise? And they're like, well, we're out of Galveston. And I'm like,
yeah, it's probably
okay,
not your
probably
best experience.
Not the best experience. It's going to be a cheaper, you know, trip out of a cheap port to not many great destinations. So I always tell people, you know, just as if as there is different levels of hotels, there's different kinds of cruises. So our cruise lines. And within a cruise line, you know, like Carnival has the cheap, dirty, down, like $229 for a week cruise out of Galveston, right? But they also have some very lovely larger ships that will do Europe. They're not a terrible line. It's just they have different what kinds of ships within the line. So I always tell
people, no one knows that.
Like, if you think about hotels, if I took you and you had to stay at the Red Roof Inn or a Motel 6, you'd probably be like,
scared.
I don't really like staying at hotels. But then if I took you to the Ritz-Carlton or, you know,
you're like, sign me up.
Some beautiful hotel like that, you'd be like, oh, this is really nice. I'm like, yeah, that's how cruising is. You have everything in between. And so something else people don't realize usually is that the cruises are owned by larger umbrella companies. So like Carnival owns Princess in Holland America, and Costa, and Cunard, and Seabourne. And those are some lovely, you know, lines in there. And Royal Caribbean also would own Celebrity, and they own Silver Seas. And Norwegian owns, not Norwegian, yeah, NCL. They would own, gosh, I should know this really off the top of my cuss here, but, I do know it. I should know it. It's like, but you'd be surprised. They own a couple of really nice ones too. So the point is, like, it's just like a hotel. Like Hilton has a huge, you know, group of properties that they own that will range the span. So don't discount cruising. Another person will say to me all the time, like, well, I like being out in the middle of the water. It scares me to have to be out there in the middle of it. How many times have you really ever been on a cruise and you just look at the water? Well, you might. I never do. I'm so busy that I don't even really think about looking out at the water.
I like the ocean, so I do. But I will say I don't like eating by the window.
Yeah, I don't either.
That makes me sick. But I will go to the roof, the balcony, whatever, and the top floors, and I will just sit there and look out at the water. But I think it's pretty. I like the ocean, so I'm not scared of it.
And it doesn't bother me, but I mean, really, you're so busy inside.
Yeah, you really are.
You're like a hotel. You're inside so much that you really have to stop and make yourself look outside at the water. I mean, it's not like you're just looking at it all the time, except for a dinner. You know, they think that the prime seats are usually by the windows.
But we do not like it.
I don't want the water moving while I'm eating because I get carsick. And I don't feel carsick on a cruise, but if I'm watching the water,
if you're watching going, it is
it
different.
Kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
But lots of people love to sit by the windows and have that view.
Each their own.
You know, everybody can do their own thing.
But yeah, I would say there's a lot to do on cruises. We always go to like the night shows. We go gambling. We go get a cocktail at a bar. We do game nights. We do like
comedians. They do karaoke.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, they do silent disco, which is like this. You wear these headphones. And then that's a lot of fun where they play different music and you're
dancing. But I don't think all ships do that.
No.
But the karaoke's so funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a lot of information for just a quick thing on travel. But we just thought it'd be fun to talk about regular travel, all-inclusive resorts, cruising. That kind of covers it, really. I mean, we're not bougie enough to have a private jet in our own like yacht.
Maybe if we become famous. Yeah, we were just talking about Monaco and how her and dad went, and I was like, oh, I want to go there so bad. But like, we were talking about like if you get stuck at a port on a cruise, like what do you do because you don't take your passport with you. And I was like, y'all couldn't get stuck in Monaco because you wouldn't be able to afford it. And then she was talking about her experience, how they got to see this big yacht come in with a helicopter on the back of it and another boat on top of it, and how they just had like a little thing come out and their dog walker just went off and walked their dog. I was
it
like,
was unbelievable. The
can
amount
I
of money
do that?
Is unbelievable there. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, we're not that rich though. So, but one day.
But on that note, she was talking about dad was talking about being left, and I'm like, so here's another tip about cruises. If you book your excursions through the cruise line, they will not leave you. If you book them on your own, you're taking a risk because they don't know where you are and they don't know that you booked that trip. So I've done it both ways. I'm not going to tell you what you should do or not do, but it might be a good idea, like we said, to have a printed copy of your passport on you, because if you got left behind for some reason, you could try to get out of the country. Okay. I think that was pretty good.
I think so. If y'all have any other questions, we could do like an in-depth one maybe.
Yeah, we could explore
But I think
more.
We did pretty good.
Yeah, and we could even like talk, in the future about specific destinations or Caribbean islands mm-hmm. or Mexico destinations or whatever. Like we, yeah. We didn't even talk about Alaska. I mean, that's a huge crazy one. I've never been there either. So maybe we'll do another one just on Alaska or something. But that's
she could do another one on Alaska.
We could talk forever about travel because I love it. All right. Well, if you have any questions and want to know more about becoming a travel agent, let me know. And y'all have a good one. And thanks for joining us on
Mother, Daughter, God.